Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the 14th perek of Sefer Melachim Aleph. So we're now at a point where Yerovam has really driven himself into the ground. He's really refused to listen despite the prophet's message. And what's going to happen now? So the interesting thing that happens next is that his son, whose name is Avia, gets deathly ill. And so Yerovam does something very peculiar. And that is he turns to his wife and says to her, "Why don't you go down south, dress up as if you know you're not the queen of Israel, and take some dried bread and a container of honey, and go find this person called Achia, who's the prophet, and tell him that this is the situation, and ask him for a blessing, and ask him what he's going to say about this young man." And so she does. She goes southwards. At this point in time, Achia is actually blind. He's very old. He cannot see. But he gets a prophecy from Hashem, who tells him that you are going to be seeing the wife of Yerovam, the king of Israel, and she's going to be pretending she's not who she is. And you should know this. So as he hears her footsteps coming in, he turns to her and he says, "Ah, boy, Ashes Yerovam, welcome, the wife of Yerovam. Why are you hiding? Is there something wrong?" And then he says, without even waiting for a reply, he says, "I've got a message for you. You tell your husband Yerovam the following. I made you the king who you are. I made you the ruler. But I tore the kingship from David to give it to you. But you are not like David. Your heart is not after Hashem. You are worse than anybody who came before you. And therefore, because you threw Hashem over your back, you threw me over your shoulder, you know what? There's going to be a terrible curse on the house of Yerovam. I'm going to remove everybody in the house of Yerovam completely and utterly. Those who died to the family of Yerovam will be eaten by the dogs and by the birds of the field. And in fact, when you, Mrs. Yerovam, return to the house of your house, your son Avia will die and he'll be eulogized in all of Israel and buried. And he'll be the only person in this family who will be buried. Because everybody else, what the Tanakh describes called mashtin bakir, anybody who can urinate on the wall, which means to say all the males of the family of Yerovam are going to be cut down. Why? Because you did not listen." And he adds in one long last metaphor, and that is Hashem will hit you and smite you kasher yanud hakoneh b'mayim, like the reed will be hit and smashed down in the water, and he will take you into exile. This is a very terrifying and terrible prophecy that is being dealt upon the house of Yerovam. That's what happens. She returns home. As her foot touches the doorpost, the door frame, to enter the house, her son dies, and they bury him. They bury Avia in the family burial plot, and everybody eulogizes him. Yerovam himself dies after 21 years of being a king. And at the end of that, his other son, whose name is Nadav, 22 years, his son Nadav takes his throne. In the meantime, the camera shifts south to tell us that Yerochavam was 41 years old when he ruled, and he was also ruled for 17 years in Jerusalem. However, the Bnei Yisrael actually reverted to Avodah Zorah during this period. They started building these altars, they started planting these Asherah trees on every hill, and it's really a terrible time for Israel. We have to really think to ourselves, what is it, what's burning them so much that they need to, even one generation away from Shlomo, do this? But in response to this, Hashem sends in the war host of Egypt, and the king Sheshak, Shishak, the king of Egypt, comes in for a raid and empties the treasure houses of Jerusalem. Think about how different this is. Shlomo HaMelech is the epicenter of the world of his day. One generation later, Egypt sending its armies in to ransack the storehouses. I mean, such a travesty. In fact, they had these beautiful golden shields which Shlomo HaMelech had on the walls outside Jerusalem. And those were taken by the king. When Shishak leaves, what Rechavam does is he makes these copper shields and he puts them in their place. And then the perek ends by saying that Rechavam passes away and is buried in the family plot. His mother's name was Naama Ha'amonis, also from Ammon, one of the people that Ammon was kept alive for. And his son Aviyam takes his place. That's the end of our perek. A sad perek, really a perek that does not bring good news. in general. A few things just to think about right now. Number one is, why is it Yerovam is going specifically to Avia, or to Achia Hashiloni, to get the blessing, or to work out why his son is ill? So it sounds simple. The Malbim points out it's very simple, and that is because Achia was the person who inaugurated him. Achia was the person who gave him power. Maybe Achia would have a little bit of mercy for him now to help him stay, or for his children to stay in power. That's why he goes there. Why is it that he has to disguise his wife? Why does she need to go in hiding? So the Malbim points out because he doesn't want to give credit to the southern kingdom. If Mrs. Yerovam, the queen of the northern cessation from the union, is now coming down and giving accreditation to the prophets of the south, well, that undermines their whole rulership. So he has to be careful. The Ralbag points out an additional layer, and that is that he already suspects that Achia hates him, and therefore he's actually hiding from Achia himself. He maybe wants to find out without having to reveal who he really is. Later on, it's interesting that among this whole curse, that the only person who merits a burial in the family of Yerovam is Avia. And the way the Tanakh describes it is when describing this particular point of him, is ki ze levado yovoy Yerovam el hakever ya nimtza boy davar tov, because there's something good in him. The Chida points out that Kabbalistically speaking, when Yaakov Avinu looked into the future and he heard the dreams of Yosef, that Yosef was going to have a ruler from him, he saw Avia. He saw there was something good in Avia. Avia had the potential of being Mashiach, but it's almost as if Hashem took him early because it was not the right time. It was a bad place. But there's the grains of Mashiach ben Yosef that could have come from the family of Yerovam if it would have worked out. But Hashem is, in a certain sense, hiding that right now, taking that soul away before it could be corrupted by the family that he was put into. Very interesting, idea. We're seeing sort of more messianic themes in this parak. One last point, and just to close with this, and this to me really struck me. I was learning Divrei Hayamim the other day, it must have been over the summer, and I read the parallel section in Divrei Hayamim to this perek, which is Divrei Hayamim Beis, Perek Yud Beis, which talks about the attack of Shishak. And when you learn the Meforshim there in Divrei Hayamim about the same episode, the Malbim adds in something which I think is just so powerful in our own lives. I remember when I first read this, it's just beautiful. The Malbim says, why was it that Rechavam put up copper shields to replace the gold shields that were taken by Shishak? And so the Malbim says in these words, Achar shera Rechavam shayidei hachna asa shav charon Hashem yuenu. When Rechavam realized that it was his humility that was what stopped the Egyptian onslaught to empty the houses, so at that moment, when he realized that humility was what Hashem sought, it wasn't the enemy that was causing this, it was his own humility that was needed, then he made a memorial for that moment to remember his humility, that every time he walked into Yerushalayim, he'd look up and he'd see these copper shields and he'd say, you know what? It's not the gold. It's not what it looks like on the outside. It's the humility to Hashem. I'm always going to remember how I deserved what happened to me. And that was really a remarkable moment of turnaround in Rechavam's life, even in a generation which unfortunately does not seem to be doing so well. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.